this ought to be interesting today. We've got Larry Grover and Steve Bozell. Both guys are, you know, Donald Trump supporters, as I am.
Yeah, you're sort of.
No, not sort of anything. I am. Well, you're more critical.
I think you're like a lot of Donald Trump supporters. You support him, but you do have your critical side.
That's right, but I'm not going to sell the guy down the river.
Yeah, you say that.
And I don't want to talk about this. We have... Get out of here, will you?
But let him finish.
We have Steve Bozell. What in the name of Christ is this?
It's the devil talk.
What do you mean the devil talk?
That's Satan singing. Turn it down, bud, please.
Turn it down before I vomit blood. Now, how's that for devil talk?
General, that's a very uncomfortable reference to The Exorcist, isn't it?
Not really. I don't know what...
Well, I was in The Exorcist.
That was in The Exorcist.
Well, technically, she never vomited blood, though, you know.
Yeah, it's the technical. It was pea soup or...
Well, everyone said guacamole.
You know what? I'm not interested in what she vomited up. I'm interested in him turning down the demon.
Hey, baby. It's okay, General.
Yeah, it's okay, General. So we've got Trump, not Trump.
We've got Steve Bozell.
Yeah, Steve Bozell. Larry Grover. And who else, Phil? You
Yeah, I'm going to throw in Art Griego.
Just throw him in there, huh?
Well, Art is going to be talking to us about his drinking problem.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's had a drinking problem for a long time. And I don't know if he still has his pilot's license.
I hope not.
I hope not, too. I don't know what he's, you know, but he's going to talk to us about it because he got into a problem. He was, I guess, on a flight, and this was one of his planes. You know, he does some commercial hauling to San Francisco.
Yes.
And apparently he had with him a friend of his who was flying, and Art was acting up in the cockpit doing something. I don't know.
What do you mean, acting up in the cockpit?
Well, apparently he was reading a book out loud with his feet up in the...
What are you talking about?
Let's find out from him. We'll be talking to him in just a moment. Here we got Art Griego. We have...
Phil, you just went like... I don't know. What was that?
Maybe I was inhale... What is it with you guys anyway?
It was a very strange sound, Phil. You went like this...
Oh, I did not.
Yeah, we kind of did, Mr. Henry. Oh, yeah, I did, but it wasn't that bad.
Hey, I don't want anybody pointing out the weird noises I make anymore.
Please don't point your finger at me.
I don't want anyone.
Please don't point your finger at me.
Okay, is this fine?
Yes.
I don't want anyone.
What is? Why are you pointing your finger at me, bud?
Because you said not for him, but I can.
I had a beach.
Break it up, will you?
Next time, bud, you pull something like that, I'll crawl right over top of him. I don't care.
Oh, my God.
That's right. I don't care if my skirt goes over his head.
Dude, that... Oh, my God, you want to beat me up that bad? You'll just rub it over Mr. Henry's head.
Rub it over Mr. Henry's head.
Would you guys knock it off, please?
Margaret, you're almost going over the desk, hiking your leg up onto the desk. If I wanted to, I could have seen everything.
You know what? I want all of you monkeys to clean it up now.
I don't like the word monkeys. I don't like it either.
Last week, you guys didn't mind.
That's right. They want to turn it into a racial thing.
Yeah, well, I think it's being racist to get Robert.
Robert, you said last week...
I know, I'm kidding.
I'll say it again. I want you monkeys. Look at him laughing.
God damn, Phil. Have some sensitivity, will you?
I want you monkeys to knock it off.
Margaret, the next time you want to go after this guy, don't hike your leg up onto the side of the desk like you're climbing a mountain or something.
I needed leverage.
Yeah, look like you're crawl right over Mr. Henry's head.
You know something, bud?
His name's Phil.
That's right. If I'm going to crawl over Phil's head, you know what? Phil ought to just sit back and relax and enjoy it.
You laughed, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, I did. I did. You're right.
You know what? I don't know why. I got out of the fourth grade for this, bull.
So the world-famous Phil Henry Show, by the way, the storm, Hurricane Florence, which by the time this airs, it's... A little bit closer. When is it making landfall, bud?
Hurricane Florence is due to make landfall at approximately...
Don't look, bud, don't pretend like you know. Look on the phone.
I'm looking at my phone. I'm looking at it right now. It's supposed to be... It looks like I'm looking at a tracking map right about here, 5 p.m. Friday.
That looks like 5 p.m. Friday. 5 p.m. Thursday, it's still out at sea.
So it's going to make landfall 5 p.m. Friday. And as I was looking at the map yesterday, it looked as if it would begin... Well, the eye of this thing is going to be right smack dab in the middle of, between South Carolina and North Carolina at 5 p.m. Sunday. So they're tracking this, what, at 24 hours?
Yeah, these are 24-hour interludes between the times they're giving you.
Well, no, that isn't. It's 12 hours.
No, it's 24.
Oh, you're right.
Well, anyway, to make a long story short, I am on the phone and I'm messaging my kid's sister, Marianne, who's traveling to New Jersey by car for a job that she's taking.
Oh, my God. She's not driving through that storm.
No, no. That's the whole point. She is, she was going to go by way of 10 and then go north up the 95. I said, why? She said, because there's lots and lots of cities and stuff on the 10, and there's lots and lots of cities, you know.
And she wants a lot of cities. Why? Because there's the more options of places to stay?
Yeah, just lots of places, lots of people, lots of, you know, you're not out in the middle of nowhere in case the car, God forbid, has anything wrong with it. I mean, I looked at the car before she split. She had good tires. Everything's cool. But I said, Marianne, you know, even if you wanted to, that was your reasoning, it's a long, bloody, long way to go across 10 to Jacksonville up north.
Oh, yeah, to Jacksonville, Florida, then up north to Princeton, New Jersey. She's going to Princeton.
She's going up to Princeton, yeah. So she said, well, okay, I'll take the 20. And she took the 20, and then she said, then I'll take the 40. I said, no, man, the 40 is going to take you right into the Carolinas. She says, well, I'm not going to...
Well, you're helping her out with this, right?
Yeah, I said, you know, the 40, I said, goes to the Carolinas. That's when she said...
Yeah, she's got it all figured out. You didn't even need to help her, yeah.
So like she's got it together, though.
What are you guys talking about, man?
Well, she knows where she's going.
She asked me advice, okay?
All right, Phil, don't point at yourself like you're all of a sudden Mr. Marvel. Me.
I'm not pointing at myself like that.
I'm not.
Phil, be a man.
Yeah, Phil, that wasn't very manly.
I'm not pointing at myself like that. So she said, well, I'm going to take the 40 only so far as, I think, Little Rock or something like that, and then she's going to go north.
Well, that's what she needs to do. You can take it as far as you need to east, but at some point, she's got to go due north.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I understand. If she doesn't want to drive across vast stretches of desert, you know, when you travel from the east to the west coast of the United States, most of the population is still sort of concentrated east of the Rockies.
Because there's so much desert out this way.
Well, there's so much desert, which means there's fewer, the towns are a little bit more spaced. The towns are more spaced apart. Nonetheless, you can get across the damn desert if you really want to, you know, do it. You can do it in like a day and a half, 2 days, like one overnight stay, and then bang, you're across the desert. But I understand where she's coming from. So I said, well, look, in my opinion, you got to go north on the 70 to the 76.
Well, how do we know these are real? You know, you may be driving her all out of the way.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do to my sister, man. I'm going to take her into the middle of nowhere.
All right, Phil, but these numbers don't mean anything to us. Tell us, where do those go?
The 70 and the 76 will take her up through Ohio, right on into Pennsylvania, and then straight across Pennsylvania she goes to Jersey and Princeton. Now, you know, that seemed to me to be the way to go because...
Yeah, that, you did a little bit of a lip slap. Sorry.
Yeah, we're really, you know, we're just...
Well, Phil, you know, you want us to keep you honest.
Yeah, I don't need you guys to be bugging me morning, noon, and night with lip slap. Yeah. So anyway, go north and then... Why am I even telling you? You guys don't give a damn.
We do. We're just kidding around. Go ahead.
So she's going to go north and then east, and that's it. So I've been on the phone with her. She's spending the night tonight in... where the hell is she right now?
She's not even out of Texas. I saw it. She's in Greenville.
Yeah, she's still trying to get her ass out of... She says to me, boy, Texas is a big-ass state. It is a big-ass state. All right, folks, so that's where that's at. Enough of the personal news. We'll be right back.
Galen Shaw here reminding you, there's no place like Harry's Place. Harry's Place, you can go in and get a haircut. That's right, sit down, put your feet up, look at the barber pole going around, read some dirty BS, dirty magazines. You heard me right, dirty magazines, because they don't allow kids in there. Harry's is a unique barbershop. Only guys over the age of 70 are allowed. Guys who have very little hair. The barbers do a lot of talking and very little work. And at the end of the day, you wonder why you spent your whole day there because no one really got a haircut. Ah, forget it.
Harry's Barbershop. Harry's, where no one is all that hairy. Harry's Barbershop.
Welcome back, world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com here. Art Griego joining us from Santa Monica Airport tonight. And, well, Art, I'm glad that you're being honest with us. I'm glad that you want to talk. And, you know, the guys were saying, why now? Why do you want to talk about this now?
Well, I want people to know that I got a reputation as a pilot, and I've been in the flying business. I've been a commercial pilot as well as a freight pilot and everything in between for a lot of years. And I don't want people to think that I'm not reliable. I had. And when you guys promoted this, you said, I want to talk about my drinking problem. I had a drinking problem, which extended back to the late 1990s.
But you've got a handle on it.
I've got enough of a handle on it where I don't want the word to get out. that I'm some kind of an irresponsible individual. Now, what happened, this was a freight, a cargo plane that is owned by my company, okay, Griego Industries, and I was flying up north with a friend of mine, Tom Serrano, and Tom was flying, and I was sitting in the co-pilot seat, had my feet up, and I was reading a book of poetry by one of these poets, I forget who it was, Allen Ginsberg.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you already sound like you're going to judge me.
No, he's not judging. We're just trying to figure out why you're reading this poetry. What happened?
Well, it was bothering Tom. And I said to him, this is part of a diction class that I'm taking. I'm learning how to do public speaking because eventually, Phil, after I retire from flying, I want to go out and do, you know, some of these TED Talks. You know, have you ever seen these?
Oh, these are great.
Yeah, TED Talks, a lot of guys do, and people learn about things.
Yeah, well, that's so I wanted to practice my public speaking. So I had my feet up because I was relaxing, and Tom's flying, and I was reading. And he starts to tell me it's getting on his nerves, at which point I said to him, how could it possibly be getting on your nerves if you're any kind of a pilot?
Well, why would, if it's getting on his nerves, why would you do it?
I told him I needed a little bit of time to practice. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to, you know, read it out loud. We're in my plane.
Yeah, but you're bugging the guy. Obviously, it's bothering him.
Yeah, it was. So I made a judgment call. And I said to him, you know what? Let me read this on the way up and the way back. I won't.
And he was okay with that.
He probably wasn't.
I want to ask you right now, Art. This is why people will probably have a problem when you say that your drinking is under control.
Wait a minute. Why are we back on my drinking?
Because you're talking about reading poetry out loud while it's bugging the other pilot. You know what I'm saying?
No.
You're saying you're reading the poetry out loud and won't stop because of bug the other pilot.
Seriously, what language was that?
That's English. He's talking up. He's saying, man, why are you bugging the other pilot?
I told him, I said, I needed to do this because I'm taking a public speaking class. And if you just let me do it on the way up, we're going to San Francisco.
Right. I got that.
Okay, and I didn't do it on the way down.
You didn't do it on the way down, except this guy lands and he's got some sort of a nervous condition.
Well, he has a problem. No, he has a twitch. It's a facial tic. And personally, I think it's some kind of a physical malady. He should go and have it checked out. But he said that the facial twitch that he has where his eye is blinking, it's the right eye.
It's the right eye.
It's the right eye, yeah. And he blinks. Sometimes he keeps it closed for 2 or 3 seconds and blinks it open again. He didn't have this twitch going up. He had it coming home. And I said to him, I'm calling BS on that. I think you're doing that to make me look bad. And I said, you know, if you have that twitch, then you should have it checked out by a doctor. He said, I'm going to probably have to take Xanax or something. And all of this because why? Because I'm taking a public reading class.
None of this had to happen, though. And this is highly, in my opinion, very selfish of you, knowing that your pilot is, the co-pilot is disturbed by this. You continue to read out of this book.
I didn't do it coming back.
You didn't do it coming back. It didn't matter. By that point, the guy has got a nervous tic in his face.
How do you know that that's not something that's physical?
Because the guy told you that it was going to... What did he tell you about that nervous tic in the face?
Oh, so you think he told me...
What did he tell you about that?
He said it was obviously a nervous condition that was probably brought on by my reading this poetry. I couldn't figure it out, though.
What is that in the background?
I'm over at the hangar. I'm at the airport.
All right, can you move away from whatever those guys are doing?
Yeah. Hey, guys, yeah, they're working late, so what am I supposed to do? Tell them?
This pilot, Serrano, says, please don't read that poetry.
I said, let me read it on the way up. By the time we started coming back, he's got this twitch in the right side of his face where the eye stays closed and he's twitching it open. It looked like a very bad physical malady. And he said, no, he had a nervous condition partially brought on by me reading this poetry out loud.
What? So it was an Allen Ginsberg poem.
I was reading out loud. I've seen the best minds of my generation. I've seen the best minds of my generation come unglued, something like that. Vast quantities, blah, blah, blah. And he says, would you not do that? I said, I'm sorry, Tom. I gotta do this speaking.
Even though it's bothering me, kept doing it.
Yeah, I...
See, this is why, in my opinion, you had a problem, and what you did is not going to wash. You can say all you want that you needed to practice your public speaking, but if it's bothering the co-pilot, if it's bothering this guy, he's flying an airplane, man.
Yeah, he's flying an airplane. Okay, he's flying my airplane.
Then you should be doubly concerned.
Yeah, you got to worry the guy's going to crash your plane.
He wasn't going to crash it. He's got a, he turns around, comes back, he's got this facial tic.
Well, what did he say to you?
He said, look what you did to me. And he's pointing at his face. I said, let me tell you something, Serrano. You need to go to a doctor because I think it's a pinched nerve. He said, no, it's because of you reading that poetry.
And you're reading the best, the Howl, what was it, Allen Ginsberg's Howl, right?
Yeah, how did you know?
I recognize the first line.
I've seen the best line, but what do you think? Phil, I want to do public speaking.
You can do all the public speaking you want. You don't do it at the expense of someone who is having a problem flying the aircraft to begin with. Your airplane, it's bothered him to the point where he's got a facial twitch.
Well, I've got to tell you something. There's something that's very suspicious about it.
And what if he's listening right now and decides, you know what I think I'll do is I'll bring a lawsuit. I'll bring a libel suit against Art Griego because he's calling me a liar. Right there in live radio.
Well, you can edit that. Would you edit out his last name then, Phil?
All right, we'll edit out the last name, but...
Yeah, but may not save you.
Well, no one's going to know who it is.
He'll know it's him. And
he'll know it's him.
He'll know you're talking about him and some people that he talked to. Some people may know. Be that as it may, edit out the last name, bud.
All right, what's the last guy's name?
The last guy's name?
I mean, what's his name?
Why do you want to know his name?
So I'll know which name to edit.
Oh, Serrano.
What do you mean, so you'll know which name to edit? Go back and listen to it. Listen to the interview.
His last name's Serrano.
All right.
So, you know, I saw the best minds of my generation blown to bits. I don't remember the rest of the poem, but it starts out, I've seen the...
Yeah, it's Howl by Allen Ginsberg.
Oh, well, now you know, because the general told you?
The general, yeah, I don't know. You know, I knew it, but you didn't, did you, Phil? I probably, Phil, admit it. No, I didn't know it. The general knew it. Thank you, General, for knowing it. I wouldn't have known it.
Thank you, gentlemen, for knowing it.
Thank you, General.
All right. I'm just double-checking you, Phil. I've got a drinking problem, which makes me want to make sure that everybody else is okay, all right?
Yeah, you got a drinking problem, all right. Were you drinking on the flight?
Was I drinking what?
What do you mean, were you drinking what? Were you drinking alcohol on the flight?
I had a couple of cocktails. God.
A couple of were you flying that aircraft?
No, I wasn't. I told you. Serrano flew it up and back.
Oh, okay. So why were you sitting shotgun there?
It's called co-pilot, and I was in case he had a problem.
Well, it sounds to me like he had a problem.
No, he said he was fine, but his face was twitching. I said, you don't look good to me, and he wouldn't give up the controls.
Maybe he didn't give up the controls because you've been sitting there. What were you drinking anyway?
Some of those little Hublin cocktails.
Some of the little Hublin cocktails? Those are hard-ass drinks.
Oh, give me a break. There's a Mai Tai. I think I had a couple of Mai Tais. I had a variety pack that I put into a bag.
Oh, you had a variety pack. You know what you were doing? I know what you were doing, Art. You were getting blasted going up and back, reading poetry out loud, driving this guy nuts. And when he lands and he tells you that he's got a facial twitch.
No, I saw the facial twitch before. So it wasn't like it was a surprise.
All right, but he blames it on you and your big mouth, and you say, oh, no, it can't be. You need to go to a doctor to have yourself checked out physically.
Are you sure that's what you want to say? Stop like that, you know?
Don't piss me off.
You just did it again. You would don't keep...
You know what? I haven't done this in a while. General, don't do it. General!
How you doing? Who are you? I'm General Shaw. Oh, come on. I was just fucking around with...
I tell you guys time and again not to go through the phone.
Well, you see me going through the phone?
I didn't either.
I'm all right.
Okay.
Yeah? I gave him what for?
You gave him what? What does that mean, you gave him what for?
I took a couple of oil-soaked rags and shoved them in his mouth, and I waved a lighter in front of his face.
Oh, that is dangerous.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. And then I came back here.
Well, where...
Let me put him up. Is it Art? I don't know if he's even still there or not.
Now, how does it feel, Griego? Okay, we're going to be right back here on the...
Well, nice first interview right out of the gate, Phil.
You know something, bud? If you're going to get him on the show, he's got to have something to talk about. Besides, he's getting over drinking, and...
I thought it'd be a very interesting story about how he's reading the best minds of my generation.
While he's bugging some guy half to death with a facial twitch. We'll be right back. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
World-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget to be a person that likes our fan page. Go to facebook.com/ Phil Henry Fans, PHANS, and give us a like on a fan page.
Yes, and also you can contact Phil, or at least follow his...
bizarre thinking there at Twitter, twitter.com/realphilhenry and twitter.com/philhenryshow.
By the way, Margaret and I and Bud, we have Twitter accounts too, twitter.com/MargaretGray, twitter.com/JenGalenShaw.
What?
They don't mess me up, Bud.
Jen Galen Shaw, yeah.
And twitter.com/TheBudDickman. Whatever that's supposed to mean.
Just some other guy took my name.
Yeah, that's kind of a drag, you know.
Oh, a big deal, Phil. You know what? Get over it.
It's not so much, you know, I don't mind it. I mean, but, look at that, man. We go again. We're drifting. Our camera's drifting.
Well, tell people what you're talking about.
We're putting in new equipment here in our studio. We've got our brand new TriCaster, which is this mini TriCaster.
It is really, it's only the size of
Yeah, it's the size of a bread box.
Eh?
It's small, bud.
Oh, yeah, compared to the old one, yeah.
Get up there, get rid of the old one. We're not going to get rid of the old one.
Why not?
Because we're going to use it as an audio computer.
That monstrosity, and you're only going to use it for audio.
Because it's damn good for audio. It's got all kinds of looping features. I love it. Where were we?
We were going to say something about the studio.
Oh, so in so doing, in so putting in all of this stuff, somebody knocked the camera. So camera two, if you're watching our video cast, you're going to see it keep drifting to the right, to the right, to the right, until finally you're going to see like the, it drifts off the green screen.
Well, you should have, before the show, you could have crawled under there and tightened it.
Yeah, right. Mr. Henry got to crawl under there. Somebody got to crawl under, not Mr. Henry.
What's your problem with crawling under there?
I don't have a problem with crawling under there, but I didn't have time. I didn't know the thing was drifting until we had to get going.
Why don't you crawl under there, bud?
Yeah, you'd like to see me crawl under it.
What? Hey, bud, quit while you're ahead, okay?
Well, you're not going to do this,
right? No, don't worry about it. We'll fix it later on. All right, so this ought to be interesting. Donald Trump, actually not Donald Trump, although this is going to get around to Donald Trump, really. It's Art Griego at, not Art Griego, you have... Jesus.
Slow down, Phil.
Steve Bozell and Larry Grover on the phone. Hey, Steve, are you at a Fresh Choice with the kids?
Yeah, Phil. I'm right at the Fresh Choice here in Pomona, California.
And Art Griego with us at the Prince Center in Culver City.
Hey, Phil. How are you doing?
Great. So there was a story today about deep space radio signals. Steve, why don't you kick it off? Tell us what you read.
Yeah, it's a very interesting story about radio signals are being received from outer space, in a galaxy far, far beyond, you know, everybody's tempted to say it, a galaxy far beyond the galaxy, far, far beyond our own galaxy, or something like that. And
well, it's kind of a take on the Star Trek, right?
Well, it's Star Wars. Star Wars, more like it.
Right.
And I read this, and I thought, well, isn't that funny? But boy, here's another example of how President Trump is so forward-thinking and so aware that we're getting alien contact.
That's not necessarily alien contact.
Well, hold on.
Yeah, General, let him finish, General, because, yeah, maybe not, but then maybe.
Well, they are radio signals. They're coming from an alien world.
It's the other galaxy.
The other galaxy.
A galaxy far, far beyond the one of mortal man.
Yeah, you know what we're talking about, right?
Do I have to get that quote exactly? Is that what it is?
No, you're saying in a galaxy far, far away.
Yes, exactly. That's in a galaxy far, far away.
What is the deal? So who cares?
I mean, we want to stress the idea, Ms. Gray, that this is an extremely far distant galaxy that we're getting these signals from.
No, I know that, but why does it have to be in a galaxy far, far away?
Because of the generational drift.
No, because we want to make sure that each generation understands it. And it's in a galaxy far, far away.
What about a galaxy far... God.
Yeah, what is your problem, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, you know what? I came on here not to be yelled at.
Phil, why don't you calm down?
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
I'm sorry.
You know, I come on this program, Phil, not to be screamed at by you. I know how you talk to people when you're intolerant of them.
Yeah, and for you to come right out of the gate like that...
I apologize, gentlemen. You're absolutely right. Can you tell me why it is necessary to say in a galaxy far, far away?
You want to take it or...
No, you go ahead and take it.
Well, what is meant by that?
Here, let me do it. In a galaxy far, far... You might as well do it. You get kids.
In a galaxy far, far away...
Wait a minute. So do I.
What are you guys doing? And I'm sorry for yelling.
What in that? Go ahead. You do it.
Phil, you're really darkening the mood here.
Would you give me a break? I'm sorry, guys. Would you please, one of you...
All right, I'll do it. In a galaxy far, far away... Are you okay, Art?
Yeah, I'm fine.
In a galaxy far, far away... is a phrase known by today's generation of, you know, 40-somethings and 30 and 50-somethings. Star Wars was very big. And so what we're talking about now is we're talking about them, in, you know, in a galaxy far, far away. We're relating to them. God damn it. I'll do it. You know, when you raise your voice, Mr. Henry, you cause all kinds of living hell to rain down on everyone.
You guys are thrown off by that? By me just saying, come on, or something like that?
Well, fella, it was rather sharp.
It's very sharp, and you don't understand how frightening your anger can be.
I'm not angry. I'm not angry. I'm sorry if it came off that way. I apologize.
All right, but it is frightening. It frightened me a lot.
Yeah, okay. Phil's going to back away. So, this is very important when you say, in a galaxy far, far away. All right. So, you've kicked off with that phrase, right?
Yeah, you understand, not everybody did kick off with that phrase. So, we wanted to come on and say, in a galaxy far, far away, because that sets everyone up for what we're about to say. And what we're about to say is that in a galaxy far, far away, they picked up radio signals.
Exactly. And these radio signals came in bursts. They were frequent. They happened over a long period of time.
And they were picked up by the SETI dish in Puerto Rico.
Now that's what I was going to ask you. Where were these signals read?
Yeah, they got the SETI dish in Puerto Rico and other places.
Right, but this is the SETI dish, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, is what SETI means, and it was at the dish in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, and so finding that out, I read that story, and the first thing that I thought of was all of the laughter and all of the derision, and really all the hatred that was directed at Mr. Trump, you know, Mr. Henry, down through the years.
The hatred?
Yeah, but all down through the years when he came up with the idea of a space force.
He didn't come up with the idea of a space force down through the years.
Well, it was the space force speech was like last year.
Well, yeah, the space force speech was last year, but the hatred and derision of Mr. Trump has been going on for years, so it took a lot of guts for him to say, hey, let's do a space force, knowing that people
would be deriding him.
So we just think the president needs to get some credit here. We've got radio bursts from outer space.
Now, wait a minute. You guys think the credit needs to go to the president because we're getting radio bursts from outer space? Why does he need to get credit?
Because of the space force. You understand?
Yeah, the space force. He wants to put armed men. He wants to put armed soldiers in outer space.
All right? That's where it comes in.
So you think... Sorry. We'll just handle it, Phil. So you think these alien radio broadcasts will indicate a hostile attack on Earth? Is that it?
Oh, man, are you kidding me or something? Get it? This is the dumbest thing.
Okay, here you go again. You're starting to yell, just like Mr. Henry did. Now, I thought we were getting away from that.
Yeah, again, if you guys are going to yell, we can hang up.
Hey, I'm not yelling, man. I need a straight answer here, okay?
Sounds to me like you're yelling.
I'll tell you what, I'll count to five, and...
Phil, you guys just go ahead and count to five, and then we'll hang up on you.
Wait a minute, you give the microphone back to Phil?
Yes, we did, because you're starting to sound stupid now.
All right, we're sorry. I'm sorry, just...
Okay, let me just ask this question. I promise I won't yell. So now we have a space force, and you're saying that these alien radio broadcasts from outer space show what a genius President Trump is. Why? Because we need the space force to protect us from an alien attack? Is that it?
Obviously, yeah. Obviously, you don't think the president wants to put a space force out there to fight off some, like, Pakistan. Hey, we're in outer space. Pakistan is going to attack. What?
Well, look, Pakistan, you know, if you're up in space and you have a space weapon, you can look down on Earth and attack any country.
What? I don't understand that. The whole reason...
The whole reason for a space force is to be in outer space, I thought.
The whole reason for the space force, it's in my reading of this, is an evolution, it's an idea that came off of the idea of Star Wars, the Star Wars defense that President Reagan wanted. So you have a space force that can deal with hostile nations from outer space.
Well, I think that's embarrassing.
Yeah, if that's what you're going to use outer space for.
Oh, you guys thought it was to protect us from, like, the Martians or something?
The Martians are going to attack. Are you ready for that or what?
Okay, go ahead and laugh if you want. I mean, this is exactly what we thought was going to happen.
Well, guys, this is a little stupid to think that...
Wait, what did you call us?
You called us stupid. Is that what you... I feel like hanging up.
Yeah, me too.
Why don't you guys go ahead and hang up then?
No, we won't.
Look, Phil, being called stupid.
Being called stupid and being called all these names.
You know, for a couple of Trump voters, I imagine you guys are conservatives. You sure are a couple of lightweights, man. You sound like you're real. What do you guys call them? Snowflakes?
Yeah, there you go. You guys sound like a couple of snowflakes.
Oh, yeah, right. Why? Because we want respect for the Space Force? Is that it?
All we're asking for is for you to consider that President Trump.
No, I don't think President Trump wanted to put a Space Force out there. Well, maybe he did, but I don't think a Space Force is needed to protect the planet from outer space.
Well, Ms. Gray, that's all well and good that you give us that opinion, but we have proof to the opposite, which is radio bursts from a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah, radio bursts in a galaxy far, far away and far beyond us. You know.
Yeah, I'll say it's far beyond you.
Yeah, man, you guys are brain dead, man. You understand what I'm saying?
Brain dead? Oh, my God. You know what? This is exactly why liberals are losing the battle for America, Mr. Henry.
Well, I don't think liberals are necessarily losing the battle. I think you guys got to come out of your echo chamber there, and you got to come out of your hermetically sealed world and take a look at what's going on. I think this is the kind of reaction you're going to get. And you guys are feeding the fire. We've got radio signals coming in from a galaxy far, far away, which means President Trump is right on it with the Space Force.
Yeah, but the whole hostile, we got galaxies going far, far away. The hostility.
Yeah, the hostility, Mr. Henry, is what we're talking about here. We can handle anything, okay? We can handle anything you got, man. We can handle it in spades. But what we can't handle is when you start yelling.
I'll take it. I'll take it. What we can't handle is when you start to yell.
When he starts to yell. Boy, you guys are, you're real hard asses.
But, all right, you're a general, you're a military guy. If you're getting radio waves from a galaxy far, far away.
Why don't you just say it's a galaxy that's, the next galaxy over, isn't it, Phil?
I have no idea. Where is this galaxy?
I said far, far away.
Well, that's not how it was reported.
It's a galaxy that's a distant galaxy is the way they reported it.
Well, yeah. Yeah, they call it a distant galaxy. All right. That's beside the point. What was your question?
What was my question? It was the general.
Yeah, you asked me. I'm a military guy. I'm telling you that the galaxy far, far away, what was your question?
I don't know. What was your question? I thought Phil asked the question. What was your question?
It was your question for General Shaw.
Here he goes again.
Can't hang up.
I know it. Mr. Henry.
Okay, I'm sorry. What was your question for General Shaw?
I wanted to ask General Shaw. You're a general. You tell us.
Yes, I'm a general. I will tell you. The likelihood of attack from outer space is next to zero. In fact, I say it is zero. The reason why one would have a space force is to counterattack or counter any measures, any military measures on the ground taken by a hostile entity, and in case they take those measures in space, if they are technologically advanced enough. The only country I see doing that would be Russia, possibly China.
All right, so yeah, we would have the weapons in space that we need.
Yes, then we'd have the weapons in space that we need.
And also, just in the off chance that we're attacked,
From a galaxy far, far away?
I'll laugh all you want.
You can laugh all you want, General, but that's the essential point, that the president has given us a two-pronged option, one for protecting the country from Earth and one for protecting the country from the galaxy far, far away.
Yeah, the galaxy far, far away. All right.
You can laugh if you want, Mr. Ennie, but there's generations after generations of Americans that relate to that.
Yeah.
Because of
Star Wars. All right. Thank you very much, General. It's been real.
All right. Can we, we want to give people a phone number and an address where they can write and send away from the t-shirt that we have, which is the Space Force, a galaxy far, far away, Steve and Larry's Space Force t-shirt. Send away for the Space Force t-shirt, Steve and Larry Get Lost in Space. Get Lost in Space with Steve and Larry. It's our new podcast.
Oh, brother.
Well, what's wrong with that? God.
Yeah, we have a podcast called Get Lost in Space with Steve and Larry.
Yeah, okay. And you're giving away t-shirts, huh?
No, we're selling t-shirts.
All right, give me the address off the air. We'll put it up on Twitter, okay?
Well, why can't I give it?
Because you can't, man, because
we're not doing a sales pitch. You really, I think, need to vet some of these. I think Larry and I think Steve Bozell and Larry Grover are so lost in their love of Donald Trump, and there's nothing wrong with that. But anything the man says is gold.
Well, and the Space Force isn't necessarily a bad idea. What was that?
Yeah, it sounded like a doorbell.
We don't have a doorbell.
I know.
Yeah, so anyway, the idea of a Space Force isn't necessarily a bad idea, but when you take news of radio signals coming from another galaxy and turn that into an alien attack, friend, I don't want to know you. I just don't want to know you at all.
All right, well, all's well that ends well there, man.
Space Force.
We're going to come out with, you know, if they want to do a Larry and Steve, is that who they're...
Yes, it was Larry Grover. And
Larry Grover and Steve. We should do Larry and Steve Space Force.
And we make the money.
Exactly.
World famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. I'm Bud Dickman.
Great being with you guys. Thanks so much. We will have a backstage pass chat for BSP's only Friday night.
We have the new mini TriCaster, in other words.
Which we were showing on our video cast tonight.
All right. Talk to you guys tomorrow.